Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for probably slightly less than an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them, because I've been over Steve's house grafting on one of his cars, haven't I?
And it wasn't a Land Rover.
No, it wasn't. We were doing Jag things, weren't we?
Well, yeah, we've just discovered something, haven't we? About, like, when you take your car to a garage and somebody says, you need to change the brake pads within the next 2,000 miles. But then it just transpires that...
they're liars?
Yeah. That's harsh, but...
this is highlighting...
yeah.
The,
I'm disappointed. The and I feel let down.
Importance of finding a good reputable specialist and sticking with them, because there are... You've just got to go to someone you can trust.
But... when somebody says your brake pads have 2,000 miles left in them,
yeah,
I sort of take that as, well, fair dues, okay. Didn't know they were that low.
Mm.
But then, you know, I have this fiasco with the tyres, and now they've finally fitted the tyre.
Yeah.
And resealing the tyre a second time.
Yeah.
Didn't I say that last week?
Yeah, you did. We're not going to dwell on too long.
But we've just done front and rear pads on a car that the pads have only 50% worn down.
Yeah. They have more like...
I am not going to wear through 50% of a brake pad in 2,000 miles.
No one would. Anyway.
So anyway, but that's what I would say when you're looking at garages and find a reputable one, you know, that you trust.
First-hand experience, yeah. A lot of big chains will... try their best to maximise your car being there by potentially telling you that you need things sooner than you actually do. So just be a bit wary.
It's interesting. Two garages have said they've got 2,000 miles in them, because that was led by me saying, have they only got 2,000 miles in them? And a second garage went, yeah, they have. They haven't.
The problem is brakes are easy money for garages. I'm not, obviously, definitely not tarring everyone with the same brush, but they are... you know,
bread and butter,
low-hanging fruit. Mm. If you've got the wheels off for a service anyway, upselling discs and pads or just pads is, you know. Yeah. Anyway, enough about that. We're back. We've had a busy weekend, haven't we, Steve?
We have. I'm back from Malvern. I'm still in my show jacket.
You are? Yeah. I don't think... did you go to bed in that last night?
No, I wanted to. Did you? I like a bit of high-vis orange.
I bet Louise would have been well keen.
Do you know what? Last night, I got home really, really late from Malvern. Do you remember, we took a detour back from Malvern.
Oh, right.
We went above and beyond yesterday.
Where did you go?
We had a mobile phone handed in. Somebody had lost their phone and said they'd lost their mobile phone. So I handed it in at the pay cabinet at Malvern. And in it was a piece of paper with an address on it.
Right.
I'll do a bit of detective, but the phone couldn't unlock the phone. And the chap said, I've lost my phone, my address should be in there. We found it. So I took a detour on the way home.
Dropped it back.
So we drove through the night and drove across the countryside and he was well chuffed.
How far of a detour was it?
40 minutes.
Was it?
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah. And I've been even calmer.
Yeah, no, I've
you know what I mean? So I just thought, and he was so appreciative. He might even listen to the podcast, who knows?
Hello, if you do.
Yeah. And I felt good for doing it.
Yeah, well, no, it's the right thing to do. And actually, putting a little bit of paper with your address in is actually a great idea if you want to lose something.
And I knew by the phone case it was an older gentleman.
Was it one of those leather ones with slots for cards?
Yes, it was.
There you go. How did I guess?
Well, that's I had one of them, but then someone said they were an older man's thing and I got rid of it quick.
But the actual event itself looked... I didn't actually go. I must say, I'd had enough of buying... things. I need to calm down on the old spending at the moment. The 200 TDI conversion is costing a bit more than I budgeted for. So I thought the best thing to do to preserve my bank account was to not go to Malvern, but it looked like a real good turnout.
For me, I actually think, so it was the season finale, and they all have their uniqueness and their pros and cons, whatever you're looking for, but this one in particular, in my opinion, was one of the best.
Excellent.
The stuff that... The traders that had turned out with a massive turnout, we were absolutely inundated with trade and public, which is, you know, thank you for everyone that's come along. It fuels everything we do as a brand, doesn't it? Mm. And we love doing these events. But we had, like, the very first trader that turned up, he hadn't been to a spares day in many, many years, and he had a triple axle Eiffel Williams trailer, absolutely loaded with all manner of things that have, you know, take-off parts that have been taken off a Land Rover 30 years ago.
Wow.
He's a 77-year-old chap, although he didn't look 77, to be fair, but he said, my son's not even interested in anything I have. So he said, I've got to get rid of it before my time's up. And I bought some wings from him, actually.
I saw them out in your...
Well, yeah, but you haven't seen the wings up close, have you?
Not properly, no. So I saw that you bought some, but that's as far as...
Yeah, but I haven't bought like wings that are perfect, because it's just me, isn't it? So I've got one that's got a dented front panel.
Right.
But then it... From a later TD... from a TD5. Then I've got another wing, the left-hand wing, I think, from a TD-CI that's also dented, but the outer panels are missing on that one.
Right, okay.
Because I need earlier panels for this. Oh, but incidentally, we're standing in my garage, aren't we?
We are, yes. We're in... Yeah. We're actually...
I'm leaning on the rear tub at the minute, and you're leaning on the other side. This is a professional outfit.
Beside your... beside your Project 90, which there's more painted bits back from the painters, which is very exciting.
Yeah, actually, because, I've had a really expensive week.
Well, this is it. I think I probably heeded your recent financial standings and thought, I can't keep up with him. I'm not going to go to Malvern. I went to Scale Nationals instead, which was a great day out. But let's not gloss over Malvern, because, like you said...
This trader immediately had stuff of interest, and because it had never seen the light of day before, other traders were more than interested in what he had.
Right.
We're talking take-off military door tops. Imagine a pair of those.
Gold dust.
A gold dust.
Rocking horse doo-doo.
Yeah. But, and then there's the wiper motor cover that had already been bought by another trader before I got first dibs on them.
Right.
The guy said, oh, I've had loads of these. I'll just chuck them in the skip. Can you imagine? Like,
sacrilege.
But not everyone knows what everything's worth.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Loads of people came up to me yesterday at the spares day, like trade and public. And do you know what was lovely? People were like, trade were buzzing and happy, but so were the people buying it.
Right.
So they've made a few quid. They feel like they've saved a few quid. Everyone was really happy. What a brilliant day that was. Yesterday, I loved it.
And actually, if you haven't gone to a Malvern spares day or any of the spares days, but especially Malvern, next February, when it's next on, we host it, we go the extra mile and we have a restoration hall, don't we?
We do, yes. So we'll be putting a few bits and pieces in there, a couple of, you know, a few club displays and things like that, and not necessarily all Land Rover as well. So if you're into a bit of tractor and a bit of classic car, we're going to mix it up a bit. Just in that one hall, the rest will be the same, and if not bigger.
Yeah.
I just was in awe of the people buying stuff and selling things. Everyone was seemed happy.
It's great.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely place, isn't it? It's so grand. Yeah. It's just great.
But loads of Series 1 parts.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because quite often, some people say, oh, there's a lot of old Discovery stuff. I saw some really early Discovery interior.
Quite a hot property these days.
Yeah. But 10 years ago, it wasn't. But I saw lots of Series 1 parts and early and Series stuff. And loads of military stuff. Really interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's great that word seems to be spreading. And I know it was sort of like a bit... It was a gradual growth again after COVID put a stop to all these games. But it's really coming back into its own, isn't it? The auto jumbles are really picking up pace now. The growth has been fantastic.
Yeah. And seeing sort of like... Well, younger people, really.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Young, you know, people in their 20s, 30s turning up and also getting the bug for Land Rovers.
Talking of, let me interject with a quick listener's question. Well, not question, more of a comment, if you like. This was a great email, and I have to read it out. So this is from a listener called Rowan Lewis. He says, hi, guys, hope you're well. My 18-year-old brother has bought a Series 3. I drove it home for him and instantly fell in love with it. It's only been a month or so, and we've since signed up for the magazine subscription, and my family are going to the second LRM event this Sunday, which would have been Malvern, because he emailed last week. Hope you had a great time. He sent some great pictures of his family enjoying the series he mentions. And he goes on to say, I'm now looking to purchase a Land Rover of my own, and my dad also wants to join in too. My heart wants a Defender, but my head says a Discovery too, as it's a little bit cheaper and a better all-round car. How do you decide on heart over head? This is something that we all struggle with, isn't it? It says, we plan to do a family camping trip to Wales and some adventure driving, Iceland, Europe, maybe even Morocco. I'm 6'9" and I'm concerned I won't fit in a defender anyway. I'm struggling to make sense of all the dash revisions because I have to sit. I've tried to sit in a TDCI or a Puma, and I don't fit. But I can fit in my brother's Series 3 just fine. Regarding my purchase, it's quite flexible. The market seems massive price-wise. Huge range in prices. Is buying a really expensive one just throwing money away? And is a cheap one a false economy? Any advice would be brilliant. I have a workshop and mechanical experience, so mechanical issues aren't a great concern. However, I don't want to be respraying or re-chassising from day one, which is fair enough. So I suppose two questions there. Discovery 2 or Defender, and is a cheap one false economy, and can you spend too much?
Well, yes to kind of all of those things in some respects, in my opinion. So if you're 6'9", and is that in one Puma or lots of different Pumas? Because I've noticed, I'm 6'3", and I've sat in some Pumas that have had aftermarket seats, and my knees are up against the dashboard.
Right.
But in a standard seat, then I can fit.
So your big difference here, in my mind, is if you get a 110 station wagon utility or double cab, your front seat will go further back, especially if you put it on mud rails or something like that. So you'll have a lot more room.
Of course,
yeah. I think you'd be all right in one of them. A 90, especially a truck cab or a 110 single cab, forget it.
Far too tight. When you're 6'9", that is getting on.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we mentioned Rob last weekend.
Yes. He came to Malvern, didn't he?
He did come to Malvern. But he's taller. He makes me feel short.
He's a big track.
And he's got a TD519 with, I think, aftermarket seats. And he fits in that just fine.
So I think, yeah, his isn't a TDCR. His is a TD5, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the dash doesn't encroach quite as far.
Yeah, that's the problem with the TDCR. But then if he's like saying like a Discovery 2, then don't buy a Puma one. Buy a TD5 Defender.
Yeah, contemporary version of the Defender or the TD5. It's difficult because Steve Grant at Britpart, actually, he's got an interesting view on these. He drives, obviously, both Discoveries and Defenders for his work, and he maintains that his TD5 double cab Defender is comfier, where he finds it comfier than a Disco 2. He finds the seating position and the seats themselves comfier in the Defender. So I think
Steve Grant's not 6'9".
He's not as tall as that. It's difficult. It's all personal preference. Yeah. That's the thing. You need to drive both. But I would certainly, from an interior perspective, be looking at a TD5 Defender rather than a Puma.
Me too. However,
mm-hmm.
So it all depends on how many miles you anticipate driving on the road. Because I would say this is going to sound like I'm not a Land Rover fan here. But if I was doing more than 5,000, well, certainly 10,000 miles a year in a Land Rover, I would probably want to get rid of my TD590 and buy a Discovery 2.
No, I think that's...
I say that, so faster roads, just in the gearing and just... Don't know, just for comfort. The ergonomics of a Discovery 2 is better as a car for more road miles.
They were designed from the outset to be more versatile, yeah, as far as doing lots and lots of road miles. Yeah, I mean, but then it's very, you hear people.
Well, you were at Scale Nationals this weekend, right? So you would have probably hung around with Richard Canterbury.
Who
I believe has the very best
Discovery 2
in the country.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
I tell you, I did see a close second to that.
Go on. Well, at Malvern?
No. At our Newbury Day, Hyena Overland.
Yes.
You've seen their Discovery 2?
Yes, very nice stuff. They do lovely parts.
Yeah, that has a very similar look to Richard Canterbury's Discovery 2.
Right.
It's properly sorted. Looks, that made me stop. It turned my head.
It's really, really nice to see these companies developing high quality off-road parts for Disco 2s now, because for a long time it was... your cheap and cheerful winch bumpers, cut the arches out, put special tracks on it, and that would be it. But now, like, it's becoming a whole genre itself of rear iron builds, and it's Disco 2s are, they're a great vehicle. In answer to your question, I would drive both. I would say you won't be disappointed. As long as you get a 110 four-door, you won't be disappointed with the legroom in a Defender, as well you fit mud rails, which help massively because they lift the seat slightly and you can go further back on them. That helps too. Chuck Glaze is expensive.
You talk about lifting the seat higher. It depends. If you're 6 foot nine,
yeah,
and your torso is not where your height is, and it's your legs, then that might be. If it's your torso, that's a, you know, you've got a tall torso, you'll put your head on it too high.
Mm.
It all depends. Everyone's different.
You need to try both.
You do. You really, really do. It's not an easy one to answer.
Second part of the question about what to pay. Excuse if you can hear the dog barking in the background. I'm going to go over the fence.
I've never heard that dog in my life here.
Really?
I don't know whose dog that is.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, not mine.
I'll sort it out in the edit. That's fine. The... expensive versus cheap. So cheap, there's an old saying, there's a cheap defender, there's a good defender, but there's no cheap good defender. That is true to an extent. As long as you go in with your eyes open and take someone, I mean, he says he's mechanically minded, make sure that you go over it properly. If you're okay doing mechanical stuff, nothing's going to cost you that much money or be that much effort. Just make sure the chassis and bulkhead and all the other, like the tub and the doors, are solid, because that's where your money and your time will go.
There's some serious money in building these Land Rovers now, as we know. That's after this discovery.
I'm staring at the proof.
Yeah, I'm staring at some painted parts, which incidentally there's some wrapped up. I've got the sort of packing material and I've wrapped up the doors. There's a door behind you, Martin, actually. And
the
transmission tunnel on there is all wrapped up. And the windscreen frame. And, you know when you go see painter I've never asked him how much to do the job and just deliver parts and sort of hope for the best, and you kind of underestimate the hours that a painter go, you know, to the labour that goes into painting these days.
Mm.
A lot of labour.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting a trade, so my painter is essentially charging me £50 an hour. Which he said that's my trade rate.
Yeah.
And that was very kind of him. I've never asked for a trade rate. I didn't even ask him how much he is an hour. An hour, you can get a lot done in an hour, and sometimes you can't.
Yeah, sure.
But just prepping a windscreen frame,
because
It had been sandblasted. You know, the painter has to put in quite a lot of hours just to get that looking really, really good.
And they say, 90% of the finish is in the prep. If you go and put your expensive paint on something that needed more attention than it got, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb, isn't it?
And these parts have a lot of paint, if you probably notice, it's done properly.
Yeah, you got the YRM sills there, the thicker ones, and they look awesome.
These are fantastic, by the way. The painter was really impressed. He just said immediately, run the DA sander over them to etch it. What do you want, etch it?
Key it up.
Key it up, that's the word. And then etch grey and grey primer and the top coat.
Nice.
Times numerous coats.
The colour is stunning.
It's really great. I'm really excited. Like when I got those doors back the other day, in fact, I think there's possibly a reel or something on my Instagram. It's probably gone now, hasn't it? The reel on Instagram?
Yeah. No, if it's a reel, it'll still be there. If it's a story, it won't be.
I think it's a story.
So old, isn't it?
I don't know what it is. Really.
I'll tell you what, though.
I did put something on Instagram the other day of Louise packing new parts, painted parts on the kitchen floor, and it just like, they just look stunning.
Social media aside, you've got a Writers Rovers in the issue of LRM that comes out next week. So you can catch it in there and see what Steve's been up to.
Yeah.
And you'll see the colour in person.
Yeah, no, really, really good. It was the first time last week, just before Malvern, when I picked up these parts, I got really excited. Got a real buzz about, this is fantastic.
Mm.
But you have to keep funding these things.
Yeah. You just got to keep your eye on the prize, haven't you? But
we're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specializes in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified, and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value, and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
So, while you were at Malvern, I was busy. I went to Derbyshire, to Bracken Rock, to the Scale Nationals autumn event, which was awesome. Radio and Troll 4x4s of all sorts, but predominantly Land Rovers, I would say, now.
Did you take one?
No, I didn't. I just went for a look around, and I knew people that were there that would give us a drive if I fancied it. But I just went there to have a little look around,
okay,
and chat to people. Yeah. It was really good. I went on the Sunday. On the Saturday, funny you should mention Richard Canterbury. He arranged a massive Camel Trophy convoy of all Camel Trophy themed models, so Range Rover Classics, nice. Discoveries, 110s, 90s. And yeah, the pictures are like, mess with your head. They look so realistic. And the terrain there is so varied and cool. It's all like rocky outcrops and sort of loose forest floor and stuff. It looked really, really cool.
A few people took part, because I saw like there was, again, on social media, I saw like a driver's briefing thing. Mm. There was loads of people.
It was huge. It was 300 models on Saturday, and it was a bit quieter when I went on the Sunday. But yeah, really big turnout. Loads of full-size Land Rovers in the car park. A lot more than I saw when I went into the spring one this year. So yeah, really encouraging. Everyone's so friendly and welcoming. There were people there that had never been to the event before, didn't know that much about getting into
just to have a look, just to learn.
Yeah.
So it's a growing trend then.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Do you know what? It's a bit like, I talk about magazines really, but it's like the analog kind of like escapism.
Exactly.
That you can just put that phone away and escape.
I did.
Back in the day, people just do jigsaws, wouldn't they, and read magazines, newspapers. But these models are absolutely in a different league, aren't they?
But it's becoming more affordable now. Before, it was seriously expensive to get into real, like, proper scaled down, like, realistic stuff.
I mean, it's not a cheap hobby now. It's not cheap, is it?
Not cheap, but it's they're a lot better value than they used to be, I would say. Because a lot more companies are doing them now. The 10th scale live axle 4x4s, whether they're coil sprung, leaf sprung. So there's more competition in the marketplace, which means prices generally are more competitive.
Yeah, well, I suppose, bespoke stuff is going to be more money.
If you're unfamiliar with what we're banging on about, the current issue of LRM has our debut feature of Scale Matters in it, which is a sort of introduction into what we're rattling on about, scaled down versions of full-size Land Rovers and what goes into them. And next issue, which will be out next Wednesday, we introduce a really, really popular model at the moment from FMS, which is a Camel Trophy, what I mentioned about Richard Canterbury doing.
Mm.
Choice of Range Rover Classic, Discovery 1 or 110. And they're £389, ready to go, fully built.
Yeah, straight from the box, charged it up.
Not cheap, obviously. Mm. It's not really a toy, but it's an excellent entry point into the hobby, and you'll have hours and hours and hours of fun. And it's all adjustable, so you can give it to your little brother or child or whatever and let them have a go with it. And it is so addictive.
Mm. They look brilliant things. Wonder how many people will get one of those this Christmas.
They will be very popular Christmas presents, I think. Mm. Check it out. Check it out in the magazine. And we also did a video on the spring one. So check it out on YouTube, the LRM YouTube channel. Have a look on there.
I think I'd have to build, like, obviously I can't build a real thing very quickly, but a model of this exact colour with the exact, when this, how I've envisaged this end. I've got a vision for this now.
Yeah.
I have a vision for what this is going
to
look like.
Have we spoken about the wheels?
No, and I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
Because that vision is an expensive vision.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
I tell you what I did see. I sent you a picture, didn't I?
Eight spokes.
Yeah, they were like as good as new. On that same, that was on the same stand.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I love
They were like, you know, like white 8 spokes, often they're rusty, aren't they?
Like on my Series
3. These were like essentially like new takeoffs.
Yeah.
Brian Adams should have come.
Yeah, he should have done. He'd have been keen for that. He could have done another album.
Yeah.
I love a white 8 spoke. What else? Oh,
this would look good on the white 8 spokes, I think.
I don't know, because it's a bit modern. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit modern. It'd be like the plans you've got for the page and the hood would contrast the fact that it'd have old style.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Do you see what I mean? You've got to kind of stick to a theme, I think.
No, my theme is I have a vision, and it's interesting. Somebody actually, I think his name, he drives a Pulse ambulance. And it comes to the spares day up from Essex. I can't remember his name. I think it's Ben.
Oh, right.
And anyway, he said to me, he remembered talking to me at a Land Rover show like over 10 years ago when I was building a V8 110, which is on that poster actually behind you, that one.
Oh yes, yeah.
And he remembered something I said to him was, but because it took a while to build back then because I had zero money.
I know the thing.
I mean, none. It was a case of what do you want for dinner, beans on toast and build an ando sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the vision went off piste a little bit. And right. I ended up building something I wasn't really happy with.
Yeah.
Because by the time it took to build it, my taste had changed.
Right.
So I had like Challenger style wheels on it. And I'd never do that now.
Okay.
It's not my, I do love them though. They look good on Discovery 2s. But it just, I had 2 inch lifted suspension and my whole vision changed. And I didn't stick to the plan.
Yeah, something
you've got sidetracked.
Often, some of the best advice, I mean, like questions we get in the magazine is, I want to do this, I want this, I know exactly what I want, but you need to have that focus.
They've got these mood boards, don't they? You know, any of a mood board.
Like a Land Rover Pinterest or something.
Yeah, kind of Pinterest, but I reckon you almost need to cut out pictures and print pictures of it, absolutely what you want and stick to it from
there. Well, that's what you're doing with it, and fair play.
I think so now.
Hmm.
But this has had multiple ideas in my head what it was going to be. But now I absolutely know.
Honed in on it.
Mm. But, I'm excited for it. Whether it will be at LRM Live, I'll admit now, this is a tall order now.
Jamie, Defender Restore, his is driven out of the garage.
Yes, I did see that.
I don't want to rub it in.
No, I saw it last night on Instagram and I was so tired, I was looking at Instagram through one eye. My left eye was just... Like, I was like, yeah, thanks, Jamie. And I know you're going to be listening to this, chuckling in his workshop, no doubt making progress with his Andre. But anyone should come to LRM Live, shouldn't they, in May, and they'll see this and that.
Yeah.
So I'm still committed.
It's definitely going. It doesn't matter what doesn't state it's in. It's, you'll have to trailer it.
No, because I can't. I'll be like a showman. With my, like showman trailers, where I have to tow two trailers, aren't
they? Yeah.
That's what this will be behind my Penman camping trailer, behind my TD5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably put this in the middle, actually, and have your Penman trailer off the back of it, because the Penman's going to be smallest. I think you should.
Yeah.
That would be quite entertaining. You'd have to get your showman's license, though, which is... we're going off piste here.
Yeah.
I
really want a showman's license.
Talking of Instagram, I asked my very limited followers what I should do with my 200 TDI, because I've obviously bought this Discovery engine to go into 110, and I was sort of on the fence about whether to just give it a clean up and then put it in, or whether to sort of take the head off and check the bores and perhaps replace the bearings and delve a bit deeper while it's on the stand. And I've come to the conclusion that it's somewhere in the middle. So I'm going to take the sump is off. I've cleaned that up and painted it. I'm going to take the ladder frame off for 200 TDIs. I have like an aluminium, I think it's aluminium, ladder frame, which goes between the sump and the block. It's like a stiffening plate.
Oh, okay. Right.
Take that off and reseal it. And I'm also going to change the T-seals at the back, because obviously the reason I'm taking the NA out of the 110 is because it absolutely hoses oil out of the back of the engine.
And it's slow.
Mostly the oil thing. I'd still be driving it if it wasn't.
No, it wasn't as slow as I remember.
I'm going to take the T-seals out and put sealant in them. It's a trick that Ben at Motor and Diesel actually showed me. So I'm going to do that and then put it all back together, reseal it all nicely. And then hopefully it will be in good health and hopefully it won't leak. So, yeah.
My answer to that would be, stop it leaking oil at every opportunity, so to future-proof it, run some brake cleaner over it, and get it in.
That's basically what I'm doing.
Because you didn't paint your...
No.
Just saying, as I'm looking at the Mac, and you painted the heater box and like a servo here.
Otherwise, it'd be like a bit of a lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, you just keep it in... Make it look like it's been in there for a while.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's
otherwise, you'll be compelled to... start painting other things. There'll be no end.
I just don't want to get it in and then wish I'd done more. But things like the little plate the lift pump goes into, it's obviously been leaking oil from there. So I've got a new gasket on the way and I'll reseal that up and just clean it down and make it look presentable. Then I'm going to fit it. In exciting news, I hope you won't mind me saying on here, he has put it on Instagram, so I don't think it's a secret. Dan at Demand has started making 200 TDI conversion downpipes.
Okay, because they're a different shape, aren't they?
Yeah, so the Discovery engine turbo's right at the bottom, and it's a bit of a snaky snake to get the downpipe off the turbo, miss the bulkhead, and then get it down to meet the rest of the exhaust. And obviously Steve Parker made them for years, and Steve Parker is no more, although there is someone selling his...
Well, the Steve Parker business is no more.
Yeah, sorry.
I assume Steve Parker is enjoying a very lovely retirement, and I hope he is.
Apologies, yeah.
He was a man of, you know, talent, and all the period conversions.
He was a stalwart, really, of the scene for many years. I didn't come across Ronnie. He's still alive and well. It just is wound the business.
In fact, I'm looking at Steve Parker exhaust as we speak, and the one behind you.
Is it?
Yeah, that's Steve Parker exhaust.
I bet it's nicer than the downpipe I've got, which looks like it's come off the seabed. So
no, it's good. I mean, yeah, they it's fine. It's because it's shaped because obviously the 300 TDI conversion is
ball,
isn't
different
it?
Again, isn't
it? So shape, yeah.
Yeah. So that's 200 TDI update.
I may go see Dan with this exhaust and go, Dan, I haven't seen Jamie's the other day on.
He's shipping it off there, isn't he, to have his exhaust done? I think.
No, hasn't it not been?
I think so. Has it?
I thought, oh no, I'm mixing two posts up here. No, it's going, yes. But,
do you know what I love about Jamie's one? If you don't already follow him, Defender_Restore, I think it is. His colour-coded boost pipes to the bottom.
Yeah, I was going to nick that idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that would look cool.
Yeah, because the boost pipes on a conversion, they're quite long, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're
and you've got a lot of... I'm sure my painter will love me delivering more parts. He doesn't mind, actually. That's what he does. That's what keeps his doors open. People like me turning up with...
Putting his kids through uni and getting him a second
His kids weren't through uni, I think.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
It must just be the second yacht you're paying for, then.
Yeah.
But no, it's all go, go, go. Still, always find something to keep ourselves entertained, don't we? But
no, definitely.
What's next on the horizon, then? It's a bit of a...
We need a Dane here soon, don't we?
We do, yes, definitely.
Having just got off the back of you spending a couple of hours on a very damp driveway doing front and rear pants for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's all right.
Actually, it's very interesting doing something different for jokes.
I sent you the invoice, yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting to do. They're quite an interesting design, the front calipers on a Jag, and something that I hadn't come across before. But
it's weird.
Always learning.
That's a weird thing.
I thought they'd be the same sort of Brembos that you find on a Discovery Sport or a full-size Range Rover with the pins that hold the pads in, but they're not. They're like a two-piece weird aluminium like frame assembly. But it's all good.
Well, in my opinion, it can be somebody else's weird two-piece brake caliper too.
Yeah.
Because it's time for it to go.
If you've, I think it's probably the right decision.
You know when you scratch an itch, and the itch is well and truly gone, but your bank balance is empty because you
got paint to pay for, Steve.
Yeah, I would rather be on this, really.
Yeah.
And just keep this going and just... I just like simple things.
I'm 100%.
Yeah, things like that where it's just too involved. Yeah, I'm done with it. Yeah.
So if you're after a 5 litre normally aspirated Jaguar XK that's had about 4,000 quid spent on it in the last month, then hit Steve up, Steve Miller Automotive on Instagram, or email editorial@lrm.co.uk.
Oh, that's a good show.
There you go. It's actually a lovely car, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, it's fabulous. And to have had all that stuff done to it, if I wanted one, I'd buy it again.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I would, and that's the thing. Selling a car to somebody, I would rather make sure that was 100% than ever trying to... I've always been like that.
Well, the coolant is definitely sorted now. The coolant...
That's a known job on them.
All stays in the engine. Mm. I think you should put 5 litre in this. Weigh the rest of it in.
Do you know what? That's possibly one of... I'm not going to do it, but... This does warrant a V8.
Imagine. You could put the gearbox in it as well. Get an adapter, put the LT230 on the back.
Someone trials one, don't they? You wouldn't put the 5 litre in this. I think you would put the stronger, earlier 4.2.
We got a 5 litre, though. It just happens to be wrapped in a Jaguar
XK. Yeah, no, it's too... It's not exactly a brake now, is it?
No, I suppose not. But this would be a right weapon with a...
It would be. This would kind of suit the V8 thing now.
Yeah, it's getting to that point, isn't it? That level of build where it's like, oh,
If only.
It would be fine with the TDR.
I'm not doing another one after
you
this.
You would be inclined to use it more knowing it does 30 to the gallon rather than 13.
This ultimately will be potentially doing 4,000 or 5,000 miles a year. Because that's what I do in my TD5.
Does that mean the TD5's going as well?
No, not yet. There'll be an overlap period, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Of possibly 12 months.
You'll need to get out and use this when it's finished, because there'll be things like, what do they call it on houses?
Teething problems.
Teething problems and...
I know what you mean. Like a...
Can't think of the phrase. Yeah, but there'll be things to tweak in, like the bodywork will settle and you'll have to adjust doors and things. Like, there'll be bits
snagging
of
this.
Snagging, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, snagging. A few snags. Yeah.
But it will be awesome. I'm really excited to see it done.
It's good fun. We're coming up to the clock's changed, isn't it, the weekend, which makes it just a bit miserable in the evening.
Pitch black outside.
Yeah. But I can't complain. Look at the lighting in here.
You have noble lighting in this shed, it must be said. Really, really good.
Well, when we did this, I said to an electrician, I hate working in like a shadow. And he said, oh, you just need these strip lights that have 4 LEDs in the size like this. And they're brilliant. But there's no shadows, is there, where you're working?
No. Oh, that's the other thing. Actually, that reminds me, talking about lightings. I went to my unit on Friday.
You forgot the one that you've been paying for every month, but you forget that you...
Yeah, I haven't been there for like nearly a year, probably.
Wow.
Still rent it with two friends on a farm.
Do they use it?
One of them goes up there more than I do. The other one, I don't think he's been up there for several years.
Really?
But just busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Two post ramp. I forgot how brilliant they are. I'm when I do finally get around to doing my shed at the bottom of the garden, I would like it to be high enough, which means probably going through planning. But game changer. I want the ramp.
Love Land Rovers? Then you'll love Land Rover Monthly, the world's best-selling Land Rover magazine. Packed with adventures, expert tips, restorations, buying guides, and loads more. For the best deals, subscribe today at landrovermonthly.co.uk and never miss an issue.
Planning permission isn't as serious as it used to be.
Is it not?
No, everyone's like, oh, needs planning permission, because people can't really... Well, yeah, especially where you live, that no one can really object.
No, I suppose not.
Because there's no problem. Next door have got garages, isn't there?
Yeah.
The height that you'd want, probably.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And no, but it's just a formality.
Is it expensive?
I don't know how much it is, but they're not as restrictive on planning as they once were.
Right, okay.
And you're not in a listed building or
no.
An area of natural whatever, you know.
No, that's true.
Scientific interest.
Well,
you're not a World Heritage Site.
So we're definitely not a World Heritage Site.
Crack on.
Doing the, I serviced the Freelander too. I'd nipped into town and got oil and filter for it because it's come around really quickly. I didn't realise it was due a service already. But
well, it was due a turbo 3 years ago.
Still going strong though, isn't it?
Hey, it is.
So I thought I'd kill two birds with one stone and I would get it up on the ramp and change the oil and filter. And my word, it's more pleasant doing it when it's... when you're underneath it than when you're lying on gravel trying to get that flipping oil filter off with your flexible ratchet. So yeah, I think I'm going to have to build plans in for a two-post because they're quite cheap. Well, not cheap, but they're quite affordable now, two-post lifts.
They often come up, don't they? Like pre-owned ones.
Yeah, pre-owned, but even from certain companies, new ones are terribly expensive considering what they used to be. So yeah, I think that would be handy. So, food for thought.
No, yeah. Definitely make sure this is the restriction on this. We've spoken about this garage before, but like I won't be able to put the roof on this in here.
No.
In fact, I could put the windscreen frame on, but that would be maximum height, but I wouldn't be able to put the frame on the back.
No.
The tilt.
No, you wouldn't. You'd have to roll it out to fit all that. Not that that's a massive hardship, but I know what you mean.
No, the car's pretty much ready for the MOT at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be fine. But yeah, interesting times. But yeah, found some stuff and some tools and that I've been sort of needing at home and forgot that I had, and I went through my old toolbox up there and went, oh yeah, I've got that. I don't need to buy another one, which was quite nice. So yeah, took a whole bunch of stuff back and hopefully that will make my life a little bit easier. Putting the TDI in and doing a few other little jobs.
So, oh, yeah, that's definitely.
But Yeah, don't know. We'll see.
Oh my God, I'm going to have some dinner, Steve. It's getting on a bit, isn't it?
It is. It's just, it makes it feel later because the clock's going back.
Yeah, definitely.
I just felt, you know, getting up at, yesterday, I was up at, just gone 4:30 in the morning.
It's busy, it's event life, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And you're not even home for dinner till 9 p.m.
I know, it's a long old day.
Mm.
But
so yeah, today is a knackered day.
We do feel a bit, yeah, because you said about doing the pads, doing your breaks today, and I was like, yeah, no worries. I mean, you've had a longer day yesterday than I had, because I've only Derbyshire and back. It's quite nice. I do love a good long drive.
I do.
Something I've sort of, yeah, I do.
With really, no talking,
just relish a nice long drive sometimes. It's really nice. You'll just, yeah, just crack on and listen to some good music or a podcast or whatever. And yeah, it's a nice time.
Mm. Depends on what you're driving. You wouldn't want the same drive, wouldn't have been the same in a naturally aspirated diesel 110.
No, I suppose not. Oh, I have loads. Oh, thank you to everyone who emailed and gave me recommendations for a Bluetooth speaker, by the way. Did you know you can get a genuine Land Rover Bluetooth speaker?
No, I did not know that.
Nor did I until someone sent me a link to one on eBay. But yeah, that was a, I don't know quite when they would have sold it or with what, but yeah, it was opened my eyes to a piece of Land Rover gear that I didn't know existed. But yeah, lots of other recommendations for different brands, different models. So I'm going to sit down one afternoon, go through them and see what I fancy, because I do like my tunes and I do like my podcasts. Mm. And the Series 3 and the 110 has facilities for neither at the moment. So are you going to put radio in this?
I don't know, really.
Cross that bridge when you come
to it. It's weird, right? I spend more time driving without a radio on than with.
Do you sing to yourself?
No.
What do you do then? Listen to the voices in your head.
Yeah. No, I can't listen to any more voices in my head because I end up with all this stuff I can't do anything with. Yeah. So I'm going to be accused of having ADHD again.
Well,
I mean, clearly, yeah, you don't get distracted by this many things without something to...
Yeah, I mean, partially it's just Land Rover life, really, isn't it, people? Bite off more they can chew. It's just so easy to accumulate things when you're in this game, isn't it? But part of the fun, I suppose. And then you can come and sell it at one of our auto jumbles. So keep an eye on it. Go to the website and have a look. See when the next one is. And then
I tell you when you'll be able to find that information out.
Go on.
From the 1st of November, we will unveil all the dates of next year's events and some exciting new plans.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
And... I think every year, right, when we do the magazine and we don't include a calendar, people go, why is there no calendar? The calendar is revered in magazine land. People love a calendar. So this year, you've heard it here first, we're doing a calendar.
We are.
And all of the event details and dates will be on the calendar. So make sure you buy the January issue when it comes on sale.
Which you're on sale at the beginning of December.
Yeah. So you can plan your Land Rover year. You can have it on the table for when your relatives come over at Christmas and you can't be bothered to talk to them. You can get stuck into that.
And there'll be Land Rover Life, isn't it?
Land Rover Life.
52-page section for Land Rover Life. Separate
thing coming back. It's
not just one reason. There's three reasons to get up.
Serious value for money.
Yeah.
And don't forget, if you subscribe, you save loads of money and you get it delivered. So why wouldn't you do that? Head to landrovermonthly.co.uk and sign up. But for now, I'm going to go home and get some dinner.
Yeah, and I'm going to finish putting my tools away.
Yeah, you do need to tidy up, and it is a right old state, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I don't know where half the stuff is.
That's the trouble, isn't it?
But I've worked all month, haven't I? So the whole of October has been pretty much work.
Mm.
So, time for a rest.
Yeah, man. Right, well, thanks ever so much for listening. I'm sorry it's a bit of a shorter one, but we've sort of shoehorned this in before...
Wednesday.
It's just been busy, isn't it? It's just been busy.
Mm.
But normal service will resume soon.
Next week's have a guest?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have I given that away? Yeah, we will have
that's
a guest.
Fine. Yeah, guest next week.
Yeah.
So if you're into your Range Rovers, listen. You'll love it. It's good.
Did you spot the LVTT opposite here?
No, I didn't see it, actually.
No, it's dark now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
It'll be nerd. Yeah, anyway.
Definitely diesel, by the way.
Is it? Definitely.
Yeah, we talked about it.
TBVA on the 10 plate.
Probably. Yeah. Definitely diesel. But
probably one of the first 4.4s.
Yeah, it's a nice thing.
How have I got dirt in my hair and I've been working on a Jag?
You turned up like it.
No, it didn't.
No, you did.
No, it didn't. I've been... How have... I don't understand. Right, I'm going for a dinner and a shower.
But, yeah. You did have to...
How have I got dirt in my hair?
I just thought... I don't know. Is it dirt? Actual dirt?
So it's dirt. Anyway, sorry. We're getting distracted. Follow Steve on Instagram if you want. Steve Miller Automotive. Follow me, Land Rover Martin. Follow Land Rover Monthly. Check out the YouTube channel. Sign up to the newsletter. Buy the magazine. Subscribe because it's cheaper and you get it delivered. But makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, thanks for listening and we'll catch you next week.
Bye for now.